So here is a question for you. What is it that's bothering you, irritating you, worrying you most of all at this moment? Chances are that a large number of you, maybe even 80% of you, would say it is the power situation, because power outages, load shedding is such a terrible thing to happen, particularly when temperatures are so high. So what is the biggest issue on your heads right now, on our heads, which is these rising temperatures? We've just had what is described as the hottest March in 122 years. This April will also break some records. There's still a couple of days to go. And there is no guarantee that May will not be worse. In fact, if anything, you can be quite sure that May will be a lot worse than this. Because in South Asia, globally, there are higher temperatures this year. In South Asia, temperatures are even higher. I see stories from Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, Nepal, everywhere. Temperatures are the highest in a long time. And everywhere you have the same problem, power shortages. Now, why are power shortages taking place? One, of course, because when it gets so hot, demand goes up. A lot more people use air conditioning. A lot more people have electricity in their homes now. So if not air conditioning, they use fans, they use desert coolers, whatever. So consumption goes up. Power consumption traditionally peaks in extreme weathers in all countries. So say in Europe, the winters are very severe, power need will peak in winter time. This year, for example, because winters were a little bit mild in the northern hemisphere, power demand had not become so bad. So people also got complacent. And as people got complacent, Mr. Putin came and woke them all up by invading Ukraine. Now, what did that do? That had a domino effect. Russia is one of the biggest suppliers of gas to Europe. Europe is the most spoiled child of the climate change debate. Enfant terrible, as the French would say. Why? Because one, they don't like fossil fuels. They want everybody to stop fossil fuels. They also don't like nuclear fuels. So the Germans, among the biggest economies in Europe, they shut down their existing nuclear fuel plants because at one point, Angela Merkel wanted the votes of the Greens or wanted the seats of the Greens in national parliament. Ban kar diya. I think three more remain and they are going ahead to shut those also. Why? Because they were getting cheap gas from the Russians. From Russia, they built a pipeline through which this more of this gas was to come, pipeline gas. And then we'd live in a perfect world and we could then lecture India, China and all the rest of the Bukhanaga countries to stop burning coal because we had cheap gas from Russia. Now that has become a problem because to continue buying gas from Russia is now beginning to look like such a cheap thing when all of Europe is calling Uncle America or Auntie America to come and fight their battle against the Russians in Ukraine or help the Ukrainians fight that battle. So while the Americans fight that battle to the last Ukrainian willing to fight that battle or the last Russian willing to fight that battle and the Europeans sort of applaud from the sidelines, right? Europeans also need energy because they can't live without energy. At the same time, they want globally new emission standards to be set up and they want to force growing economies like China, India, say Pakistan, Bangladesh, everybody to be good children while they themselves are these spoiled, pampered children. What's now happened is because they can't buy so much gas, some have stopped buying. Some are scaling down, they still need energy. And because they need energy, they are buying coal. There is only that much coal available in the world. Even from Russia, they've been importing a lot of coal. And again, there is pressure that if you are asking everybody else to sanction or to follow sanctions on Russia, how come you are buying not just gas, but also coal from Russia? That is double hypocrisy because one, you are violating sanctions. You think sanctions don't apply to yourself. And second, coal is something you are de-prescribing for all of the rest of the world. So, pressure on coal right now has become massive. Again, the problem is, and why we are talking so much about Europe is that Europe has the money. Europe is very rich. So, when they reduce their gas consumption or gas purchases from Russia, they can start vacuum cleaning coal from the rest of the world, wherever the coal sources are, say South Africa, notably in this case. South Africa, Australia. So they are buying coal from all of those places at high prices. How high coal prices are, we had talked about in an episode of Cut the Clutter, I think, 850. I will share a link with you. That was, I think, September, October last year, when coal prices had gone up internationally in China and India. And then we had said the reason seems to be that in India, we had late monsoons, a kind of monsoon revival, which left the mining areas flooded. So mining had slowed down in India's mining areas. And also because shipping had been disrupted because of the Delta wave of COVID, etc., etc. At that point, we had said, wow, the Australian coal, which is like a benchmark price for globally traded thermal coal, had gone up from $100 a ton to $280, right? And they said, wow, it's gone up so much, 100 to 280. What do you think is the price right now? It's $440. Now, Europeans can buy it because they have the money. So you see the South Africans now shipping enormous amounts of coal to Europe. And so I see a story on Bloomberg that says that now see coal from South African ports being transported from ships going on an unfamiliar route. So these are ships going from Cape of Good Hope carrying coal to Europe. Now that is for the Europeans. So Europeans don't have power cuts, power outages, load shedding. It is countries like ours, India, Pakistan, etc. Yeah, Pakistan, etc. have other problems because they're also very poor for spare cash and very poor for foreign exchange. So how do they import? And in this case, China's ability to help them is also limited because China itself is short of coal and it is stocking up all the coal. Chinese have been mining coal as if it's going out of fashion. The fact is coal is going out of fashion. So as I read up more on this, I see people who are invested in coal, in coal mining, they are saying that, look, you are telling me that by 2050, the world has to stop using coal, which means by 2050, nobody will need any coal, right? At the same time, you're telling me right now, boss, the world needs a lot of coal. So invest so we can produce more coal because the world needs more coal. So that guy is saying, why should I invest more in a business which you are telling me is going out of business very soon? So that is the paradox in which we are caught. So the Chinese have been overmining their coal and they've been hoarding it. Unlikely that they will spare any for Pakistan. So that is Pakistan's problem. But look at our own problem. What happens to India is that India has one of the largest coal stocks in the world. Coal India Limited is the largest public sector coal mining firm in the world. And yet, India ends up importing a lot of coal because, once again, these are reality checks that we need. While we've been seeing all these gigawatts of alternative sources of energy coming in, that's wind energy, solar energy, etc., etc., the fact is that even today, 70% of all of India's electricity is thermal. And thermal electricity in India is almost entirely coal-based, coal-fired or coal-produced. Why? Because, yes, gas is much cleaner or much less dirtier than coal. And India did set up some gas-based power plants also, but those are all shut. It's such a humongous national waste. And you will see a story on the print.in in a couple of days. One of my colleagues is working on it. How these very expensive, super expensive gas-based power plants were set up, but today they can't be run because gas has become so expensive. And the rate at which you buy this gas, if you produce power and put that on the auctions, on the national grid, etc., etc., you simply do not recover your cost. So gas is too expensive, coal is too scarce, and now coal has also become so expensive. So Coal India Limited, which is the sole supplier in India, is working overtime. Its production has gone up. And as I speak, you will see some graphics. You will see two graphics from Bloomberg, and we haven't stolen these. We are subscribers to Bloomberg. It costs us real money to keep that subscription going. So you see those two graphics. One tells you how much the coal share in global energy production still remains. In fact, if anything now this year, it will go up because fewer countries will buy Russian gas. And second, see also which country, the mix of fuels that the major economies use for their energy. India also features there. And you see the share of coal is really not going down. If anything, it's going up a bit. And now again, as Europe uses less gas from Russia, less Russian gas, they will use more coal from Australia, from South Africa, from wherever it comes. And countries like India will be in trouble. Now look at the situation in India. I will share a Reuters story with you. I'll share a couple of Bloomberg stories with you. You can read them in full if you want more details. But of the power plants in India, more than a hundred today have below 25% of their mandated coal stocks. Mandated means that is the amount they are supposed to keep so that there is no fear of their shutting down. So 25%, 1/4 of their mandated coal stocks. More than 50 power plants have less than 10% of their coal stocks. That means they are below the critical levels. Those plants could shut down any moment. Now, if you look at data that's available, the latest data, say available until the end of last week from Central Electricity Authority, it tells you that in India, the total gigawattage, 1 gigawatt is 1,000 megawatts. Total gigawattage of coal-based power production is 182.39 gigawatts. Say 182 gigawatts, and you can put 1,000 in case you find megawatts easier to understand. So that will become 182,000 or 1,82,000 megawatts. That much power is produced from domestic coal. Another about 17 gigawatts is produced from imported coal. Of the power or the plants that use domestic coal, on an average, their stocks right now are 34% of what is mandated. That means about a third of what they are mandated minimum to keep. Whereas if you look at the imported plants, that is also down to almost 30%. In fact, nine thermal power plants, which produce 3.56, that is 3,560 megawatts, they are lying idle and shut because there is no fuel available. Now, why has this happened? You might say because the power need has gone up, power demand has gone up. It is true that power demand has gone up. Power demand in 2019 was 106.6 British units. I mean, don't ask me to explain these units. If you are more interested, you should Google. Say the power demand between 2019 and 2021 went up by about 9% year on year, right? So by 2021, it was 124 from 106. In 2022, it is expected to go up to 132. Again, if you calculate backwards, then compared to 2019, demand has not gone up by more than 9 or 10% each year. Now, in a world where so many people have been so starved for energy, this is not some undue rise in demand. But the fact is that the availability of fuels has simply, forget keeping pace with it, availability of fuels has gone down. One, because of the overall opprobrium in which coal has been held. So coal has not seen any investments. Coal is the cheapest fuel, by the way, cheapest and dirtiest. But also because now Mr. Putin has chosen to do what he has done, unmindful of the consequences, and see the consequences of what he has done has had. Number one, it has made global energy prices going up. So global crude prices have gone up, global gas prices have gone up, global coal prices have gone up, and global power prices have gone up. So consumers also will pay more and more for their electricity. Those things don't happen in India. That's a different story, because in India, energy is not market run. Energy markets are controlled by the government and politicians. So that's a different story. I'll come to that in just a minute. So the consequence of Putin's invasion, number one, global energy prices are up. Number two, the climate change net zero target, which was 2050, will now have to be put off, because this year, just because of an excessive use of coal, the world is expected to release another 2 billion tons of carbon in the air. That pushes back your climate change net zero targets. Three, poorest countries are the worst hit, because rich countries in Europe, rich spoiled countries, can pay more money and buy more expensive coal and burn it, whereas the poorer countries get left out. And fourth, you can't even say that Mr. Putin is losing an opportunity. He's not, because he knows that the energy sources that he has, coal and gas, they're sitting in his soil. So if not today, then tomorrow, day after tomorrow, next week, next month, someday Russia will still be able to sell these. Maybe by that time prices will be much higher. So that is what has led to a global dislocation of energy supplies. Now, October 2021, Indian plants, thermal plants, were actually in a worse shape than they are right now. At that point, a lot of the plants had no more than 4 days of coal supply. Today, this isn't as bad as that. But at that point, we thought that because that was seasonal, soon enough, Coal India will start digging out more and things will get okay. And it's true that government set up a task force, that task force did a brilliant job, and power production did not come down and plants were not shut down. But now the problem is different. Now the problem is that Coal India is producing more than it has ever produced. It's now producing 1.64 million tons a day compared to 1.43 million tons a day last year on a comparative basis. Similarly, first half of April, that is this passing month, month that is now ending, Coal India has already upped its output by 15%. So how much more can you do it? Again, you might say, how come this is a PSU monopoly? We thought we were reforming our economy. So something did happen. In 2020, Modi government did announce, in fact, did come up with a new law announcing coal mining privatization, which means not privatization of the PSU, that is Coal India Limited. That is too difficult because unions are very strong and nobody wants to take pangas there. But by allowing private sector to get new mines, to bid for new mines, 50 blocks, coal blocks were put on offer. And then what happened? As usual, activism started. Those cases are now sitting in Supreme Court of India. So no private mining has started. Although a reform was attempted, that is now stuck. So once again, it is Coal India Limited which has to supply to everybody. Meanwhile, in India also, energy prices have gone up. In India, energy is traded on exchanges. That price went up from 3 rupees per kilowatt hour to 8.23. And now, Central Electricity Authority, which is the regulator, has put a limit. It cannot go above 12 rupees per kilowatt hour. That's already 4 times the price. Now, at this price, how many states can afford to buy electricity? And that is where the other problem comes in, which is India's broken power economics. Now, every state government wants to ideally give power free to everybody. If not full power, then 200 units, 300 units. In Delhi, Aam Aadmi Party gives 200 units. In Punjab, they promise 300 units. Similarly, various state governments, if nothing else, they give power free for farming to farmers, right? And then whatever comes for free is also wasted. So state governments and their utilities, that is power distribution companies, they've gone bankrupt now. And they've been in a vicious circle of serial bankruptcy. They go bankrupt, then some new plan is created like that earlier Uday scheme, and somehow they are evergreen, they again go bankrupt. Because we are a very strange country. We are a strange country where everybody wants electricity. Good idea, because who wants 8-hour power cuts or 16-hour power cuts? But everybody wants free electricity or cheap electricity. You raise electricity prices by 10%, people will go crying. If you then tell them that, look, on my own auction exchanges, I am buying electricity instead of 3 rupees per kilowatt hour at 12 rupees per kilowatt hour. It's 4 times. From where will I pay this unless the consumer pays for this? The consumer says, go to hell. So, what is a vicious circle? That I want power all the time, but I want power very cheap, ideally free. But you know, the paradox is that our voters will vote a government out if they are not giving them cheap power. Our people, our voters will also vote a party in because they are promising free power. But we do not vote a government out under whose watch we are getting 16-hour power cuts. And we don't say, you charge what energy costs, but I'll vote for you if you give me 24-hour good quality power. And that is where our politics is broken, and that is where our electricity economics is broken. So in India, it's a double whammy. On the one hand, you have shortages of the fuel. On the other, people who are buying the product of this fuel, which is energy, they are broke because those who are consuming and those who are desperate and hungry and thirsty for this power, particularly with temperatures going to 48 degrees. Now, they don't pay. Distributors are bankrupted because they are not paying producers. Producers are bankrupted because producers are bankrupted. They can't pay their banks against the loans they've taken. So banks are bankrupted. Then producers stop producing because they can't afford to sell, because the buyer can't afford to buy. In which case, as their plant shut down, their interest burden is rising. The meter on their interest is running. So their plants become more and more expensive. So everybody gets bankrupted in the process, and people of India have to endure 16-hour power cut. So you might say Mr. Putin has made a contribution to this, which he has, but this is also what's happening right now, is also our own broken political economy. Now, we need to discuss for a couple of minutes what's happening with coal. So everybody, we had COP26 in Glasgow just a few months back, and everybody said we are now consigning coal to history. So see the revenge coal is taking. So in the Bloomberg story, I see a quote from Steve Hulton, who's an Australian expert on coal markets from Rystad Energy Company in Sydney. He says, and it's very prescient, he says, when you are trying to balance decarbonization and energy security, everyone knows which one wins, keeping lights on. Why? Because he says that's what keeps people in power and stops people from rioting on the streets. Now, this applies elsewhere in the world, but does not somehow apply in India. Now, I'm not saying by any means go out and riot in the streets. Remember, it's much hotter in the streets than indoors, even if you don't have power. So stay safe, stay indoors. But the fact is, unless we change our own proposition to our politicians, right now we say, give me freebies, give me free power, give me cheap power. If we said, first of all, charge me a realistic price. Charge me a price that the market sets. Let the market prevail. But give me good quality 24/7 power. And good quality means at a steady voltage, so my gadgets, my white goods don't burn out. I don't have to put inverters, generators, voltage stabilizers, servo stabilizers, all that tam-jam. Then I will vote for you. Unless that happens, you will not see a solution. Right now, in a crisis situation, there will be solutions. Because usually, Indian Railways provide about 450, 460 trains to take coal to power plants. They had reduced them to 415. Now, they have cancelled 550 passenger trains to deliver additional coal to power plants. And don't worry, this coal will not go riding your first-class coaches sitting on lower berth and upper berth. All they'll do is, on those trains or those engines, they'll now hit coal bogies. So these trains will carry coal. So the immediate crisis will be handled. But there will not be any longer term solution unless we learn to answer this basic question. What do we want? Do we want good quality, steady power and good quality of life? Or do we want this joy of discounted power, free power? I know it's an old ghisa pita joke, but it's very true, so I have to repeat it. You know, it's like we are a country of freedom fighters, not because of the freedom fighters who drove the British out of the country. That's because all of us continue to be freedom fighters in the sense that we want everything from our government free. Free power, free water, free public transport, free railways, free everything. Until that changes, there will not be a long-term solution to this problem.